I love being part of a Spirit-filled church. It is so awesome. Wow, honestly. You know, in the Garden of Eden, there was paradise and there was a marriage. Who was married in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve. Boy, that was a test. And, you know, you got to pick up your game a little bit. Okay, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They were married. And with the fall, they left the Garden of Eden. Marriage went with them out. And they had to learn to live as two sinners loving each other. So turn to your neighbor and explain that to your neighbor for a moment. I want Pete, Wistera, and Debbie to have a long talk about it. When they left, they had to learn to love and to know God. And I think church life is something like this. It's like a marriage. We are married to each other in the Lord, but we're not in paradise. We are here, and we are learning who God is. We learn about forgiveness, we learn truth, we learn faith, we learn to give grace, and we end up having an amazing time in love. If we learn to love, then we will have a little bit of paradise on the earth. And that's how I feel about our church. I do. I'm so happy. But you know what? Just like a bad marriage, if the marriage is bad, it's like really bad. But if the church is bad, it's really bad. You know? Like people can be very mean, very critical, very proud, very judgmental. But if the church is Spirit-filled, it's like paradise on earth, really. It's beautiful. And that's what a good marriage is, too. It's like awesome. When it's bad, just be quiet, endure it, pray, love, forgive, be patient, and hope for better days. And they can come. They can come. If you're in a church that's having trouble, be quiet, pray, love, hope for better days, because they can come. But they don't come easily. They come by instruction. They come by patience. They come by listening. They come by getting wisdom. Anyway, those are a couple thoughts. Would you welcome Pastor Fiers from Miami, Florida, USA? He's going to come and share.
Good morning. Hang on, I got to get all this stuff off me. What part do I use? This is all new.
Put it up here.
Whatever works.
Nothing's working.
Got mask on me. I got little sticky things from the communion, I think, on me. What's going on? We're getting there. I heard the 9 o'clock service is a crazy group of people. Yeah. Okay. Not that crazy. It's wonderful to be here. Let's pray first and let's see where God brings us. Heavenly Father. Wow, we're in your presence, and you promised to speak to us in a brand new way. We thank you, Father, for the Word of God, and this morning. We just want to mix faith with what we hear so it becomes so profitable in our lives. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. I know a lot of pastors have been talking about, you know, with Pastor Morrison, and we all have stories, and we all been infected by his life. I want to share one thought with you. This was at a pastor's retreat. We're probably going back to, no, not the time I was bit. This is a different time, probably over 10 years ago, and Pastor Morrison spoke to the pastors, and you know, a lot of times you can take it as, wow, that is pretty harsh, but you know, when we receive it with the right spirit, you know, this, what he said spoke volumes to me. And he said it this way, and I hope I'm getting it right, but he said that, pastors, when you get up and preach, when you get up and teach, and you give a verse or you give a chapter, never say, I know you know this verse, because you don't. And what you're revealing to people, that those that do know that passage, they are shutting you off. And they're not receiving from you. Those that have never heard it before, you have now just called them dumb. Amazing. Amazing thought to think about. You know, he says, we always go in and we always hear this word so, so fresh. And I remember even speaking, and Pastor Stan even brought this up on the Grace Hour. And I was speaking at that event too, and he was right in the front row. And he's going, wow, wow. And I'm going, what, you know? But it's how he heard God's word, how he heard it, how he received it. And it's just something to think about this morning. Turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 14. Spend some time in Haverty Grace this weekend. Spend some time in Philadelphia. You know what I learned from being out in the streets evangelism? That everything is closed. Even the churches. God is closed. Yeah. That's what they were telling me. That God is closed. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible says that the people went into the square, it says in King James, into the square. They went into an open square or an open street. It was an open area. And they went in there for one purpose. They went in there to call for Ezra. Called him to bring the book. And the Bible says that Ezra opened the book, opened it. We have a open book, thank God. The church is not closed. You know what a lady told me in Philadelphia yesterday? I have to make an appointment to go into the church. I go, is it like one-on-one? She goes, I don't want to talk about it. Things are closed. Just like that. And my heart just dropped and it sunk. We have an open word. We have an open message. When Jesus walked with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says, as he spoke the word, it opened their understanding. God is not closed. God will never close. It's an open word. It's an open message. And people's eyes and their hearts can be open still. Don't close it. Don't close it. So let's get into this morning. Verse 15. John 14, verse 15. The Word of God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Remember Jesus telling Peter, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? You know all things, God. You know all things, Lord. Feed my sheep. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is motive obedience. The obedience part is to keep my commandments. And you know what? Hearing this as a Jewish follower of Christ, you know, or any Jewish person at this time, they might be thinking of the commandments of the law, you know, and wow, I already failed in that area. And now do I love him because I can't keep it? How do I keep something that I have no capacity to keep? If you love me, keep my commandments. This word keep is the obedience part of this passage. And the word obedience in the Greek is hupokoe, to hear under. A lot of us think our obedience is something that we have to do to prove God's and to have his acceptance in my life. But obedience is just learning to hear that our capacity grows. We hear under the word of God. And this word love, if you love me, that is the motivation to be able to keep. Love motivates us. We are motivated when we hear about God's love for our lives. It motivates us. It's God's love. It's agape love, 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love of God teaching us his commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. And I think when he was speaking this, when he was saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, that was from Deuteronomy. Remember the expression in Deuteronomy, the demands that were in Deuteronomy chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 9. If you love me, keep my commandments. God's love, this is a new way of life, a new way to live, by living under hearing God's word, being obedient to hear the word, and to live by the love of God. You know, as humans, we have human love, we have human affection, right? But it's very shallow. It's very shallow love. It's very limited. In my human, I have a limit to what I can, how I can love. God's love has no limits. That's why God's churches are never closed. God's word is always going forward. You know, David said that in Psalm 139, and he said it a couple times in this chapter, in verse 1 and verse 3, he said, oh God, search my heart. Search my heart. And it even says, search my heart and search my thoughts. Would you pray that? Would you ask God to search your thoughts? As I'm praying and I'm casting down all these empty thoughts that are keep coming into my mind. God, you know the thoughts. You know the heart. And out of that heart, you know, the motive is love. And out of that, in Romans 6:17, comes this obedience. Comes from the heart. From that area that God wants to touch in your life. that God wants to shine within your life. So we are not under law, we are under love. This new commandment I give you, that you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. In these two, you fulfill all of the law. Now look at this. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. The introduction of the Holy Spirit. The one that's going to enable me to be obedient to his commands. Because upon my in my own flesh, I fail over and over and over. And then I put guilt upon myself and I have condemnation because I couldn't live up. I need a helper. And hopefully some of you are at Pastor Schiavelli's class on Friday. If you weren't, I don't know if it was recorded, but that was an amazing class. 30 things of the Holy Spirit within one's life. The Holy Spirit enables me. He's teaching me, guiding me, directing me. For how long? You can answer.
How long?
He abides in you forever. Forever. Permanent residence. Permanent residence within us. Always showing us Christ. Always revealing Christ. Teaching us all things. Showing you things to come. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot know. They don't know it. They can't receive it. They don't want anything to do with it. The natural man doesn't want anything to do with the spirit man. 1 Corinthians 2:13, they are foolishness. It's a foolish thing to them. Well, how you doing now? How you living your life now since COVID has come in? How this strange thing has now come right into our environment. Oh, you mighty nation. You've been crumbled in 5 days. Sent to your rooms. Lost your businesses. Quickly things can turn. Through the Politica agenda. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah. They're moved the way they want us to move. The world speaks the way the world wants them to speak. Foolishness. Truth. Spiritual truth. Search my heart. I desire truth on the inner parts. Hebrews chapter 2, it says, take heed how you hear these things, lest, I think it says, lest it slip away. The word is drifting. Truth starts to drift away from us. Take heed how we hear. Be careful what you hear. Be careful how you hear. Mark 4:24, Luke 8:18. Be ready to hear. Be ready to hear. Let me close with this in verse 18. Look at he says, and such a comfort. We need an open book because it comforts us. It restores us. It settles us. It settles my mind, my thinking. And it's like, since all this stuff has happened, it's like fear lingers in the atmosphere. You notice people are pretty fearful right now? You ever talk to somebody? It's great fear. But God has not given us that spirit, but of power, love, and a sound mind to think with the Word of God. Sound thinking. The power to evangelize. The love of the finished work. And the mind of Christ. That's God's spirit. Not this spirit from the world. All governed and controlled in fear. Church is closed. Things are closed. It's the greatest time to be a believer right now. What we're living in now is the greatest opportunity, I think, of the church. What a message we have. What a message we can deliver. I will not leave you comfortless. What a promise. Just holding on to that promise will get you through every single day until Christ comes back. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you comfortless. Why? Because He's the God of what? How much? What's the word? All comfort. He's the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:3. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God's love. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen.
Pastor, beautiful. Wow. Is the Spirit speaking to you? Thanks, Pastor. Awesome. Is the Spirit speaking to us?
Yes.
He is. Is the Spirit speaking to you? How about in these days? Pastor Pete Wistera told me about people pulling the Corona card, you know. I want to rent a car. I can't rent it to you because of the corona. I'd like to, you know, buy some patio chairs. Can't do it. Corona card. I'd like to meet you for coffee. Can't do it. Corona card. I'd like to go to work. Can't do it because of the corona card. Has that happened to you? The age we live in, wow, it's fun. Has anybody noticed any hypocrisy anywhere? Has anybody noticed any double standard? Huh? You know what I mean? Like Home Depot is packed. I think we should buy stock in Home Depot. You know, thousands of people, parking lots packed for months and months and months. Close the church. Close the church. Wow. Amazing. Well, here's a short message. Romans 1, verse 1. And this is really what Pastor Ken said is happening in me. And it is, the Spirit is saying something to me these last few days, weeks maybe. The Spirit is saying something to me. Really, it's very refreshing. It's amazing, actually. I'm very excited about it because the Spirit is showing me something. Now, a week ago, Randy Rollins and I, and a group of us, Pastor Roger and Mark, and a group of us went to Northeast Maryland, and we did soul winning on the street by faith. Just pulled into town, parked, just by faith. The week before, we went to Westminster. There's a guy on the street. I don't think I should talk to that guy. He looks too jaded, too tough. He's going to blow me off. He takes the track. He looks at me. He goes, "I've been at this Bible school. Do you know John Love?" Okay. I called him yesterday, and he goes, you are Tom Schaller? He goes, "I love your messages." This is in Westminster, right? He's lost contact from 2002. He was here at Bible school. Isn't that amazing? Okay. It gets better. So we're in Northeast Maryland. We go to two of us go to a fire station. There's guys sitting out on the street. We come up to them. They're friendly. "You want to sit down?" "Sure." We sit down. We start talking. We have a great talk. "You guys, where are you from?" We go, "We're from Baltimore." So immediately they're like, "Are you Democrats?" You know, "We're from Baltimore. Are you Democrats?" Okay. So so we have a good talk. Okay. I won't go into detail, but it was touching. It was touching. The next Thursday night, we went to Hub of the Grace, and Pastor Ramir and I are knocking on doors. We come to this kind of shabby house with a plaque on the front door. You're knocking, you know, it's kind of beware. The man that lives in this house is from the 8th Infantry. You don't want to get in a gunfight with him. And on it goes. It's like a paragraph, you know, this whole thing. And Pastor Ramir and I look at each other. It's like, let's skip this door and move on. Okay. I go, "Let's go for it." So we knock on the door. This old man comes out. I look at him immediately. I just know he's the sweetest guy. He was precious. I thought I'd meet that old, tough Marine. He's ready to say, "Get off my porch." But he goes, "I used to teach Sunday school in the Baptist church down the street." He has this southern accent, and he's the sweetest guy. I go, "You want to sit down and talk?" We sat in the porch. We're in the rocking chairs talking. That guy was so sweet. God showed me something that I want to share with you, that he's speaking to me. Like Pastor Ken said, the Spirit leads us. Spirit speaks to us in these times. And it's good what he says to us. So guess what we did yesterday? Pastor Randy goes, "Let's go to New Freedom, Pennsylvania." Have you ever heard of that? Oh, yeah, vaguely, way back in my memory. I remember those words. So we drive up to New Freedom, Pennsylvania, and we're praying along the way for a divine appointment. We pulled the car up. It's a very little town. Beautiful day yesterday. Quiet, a little sleepy, Pennsylvania, clean town. Wow, it was so nice, refreshing. I get out of the car at the gas station. Right there, there's a bunch of people around, two pickup trucks. People just, and the Spirit says to me, "There it is, go to them." And I'm like thinking, okay, let's go. I hold up a tract, the woman and shakes her head, no. I talk to the guy there, he goes, "Let me see that." we talk? He goes, go over to that woman and give it to her. Her mother just died. We just buried her mother. So I go over to the woman, and she's touched by it. She goes, thank you. We just came from the cemetery. We buried my mother. And I said to the guy, is that your grandmother you buried? He goes, yeah. I go, listen to me. So I had an audience with a group of people. It's beautiful. And Spirit is saying to me something all the time in these different encounters with people. Honestly, it's in my heart. And it's this verse, chapter Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It says, it's Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, you can't be too big for your britches. Turn to your neighbor and ask him what that means. You can't be too big for your britches. Do the Hungarians know what it means? You know, okay. Britches is a word for your pants, right? You can't be too big for your britches. Inside, you're proud. Yeah, and you can't put your pants on. You don't fit in your pants. You're too big for your pants. That's the idea. Okay. You are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something unique about us. A very unique and very different thing. And it's said here in verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. That's what I got to speak about later today. And I just, it's just in me, in my heart, a lot, separated unto the gospel. Paul is saying, we could say it many ways, but he could say, I have a very clear separation unto this mission of the gospel. There's nothing like what I am saying, who I represent from God. There's nothing can compare. I am separated unto a very unique thing, something that is hard to, that you would never imagine. You cannot even realize, you have no idea how different it is from every other voice, every other religion. At a gas station yesterday, I talked to a Muslim man kindly, but I don't listen too much to them as they do their Islamic thing, and I do my Christian thing. But and he was from Pakistan, and I love him and care about him, but there's no way I can penetrate all that stuff that they have in their mind, and they want to convince me of what they believe, and I already know it. I told them, I already know what you're talking about. I know the language you speak is Urdu. I know all about it. I know what you believe. I know Muhammad is a prophet in your mind, and that Jesus is just a prophet. But he isn't. He's God. This is very unique. God. Okay, so I had a little talk. Then when it was time, I was done. Thank you so much. See you later. My friends are waiting for me. But I have to say something. That's a little bit to the side point, but I want to say something. There is nothing in this whole world that is like this gospel. The angels in heaven, when Jesus was born, the angels said, you know, go to Bethlehem, you'll see the baby. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This is incredible that God would be our Savior, that God would save us. This is the gospel. This is so different. Now, in explaining this, and I want to finish here, but in explaining this, gospel, people have to realize sin. They don't. They have to realize how bad it is. How bad it is. How bad man is. How much, what sin is. How powerful sin is. How sin destroys people. They don't realize it. They have to realize how blind they are, how empty they are, how arrogant they are. They have to realize how wrong they are. They do not. They do not. Let me just, can you put up on the screen a verse, John chapter 7? I want to show you one thing. Actually, I'm going to preach at 11, so I'm going to do. I want to finish here, but you guys are, you know how, okay. Chapter 7, verse 27. Now, this is a great verse. This is two mistakes here in this verse, John 7, 27. However, we know where this man is from. This is the Jewish people talking about Jesus Christ, and they're confused. Who is he? And they say, we know where this man is from. Okay, do you see it? What do you think they would say where Jesus is from? Where is he from? Nazareth. Was he from Nazareth? He was actually from Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. His family is from Bethlehem. He's of the seed of David. He's actually from Bethlehem. But they think he's from Nazareth. Where is Nazareth? In Galilee. They think he's a Galilean. They think he's from Nazareth. They think he's a carpenter's son who's a nobody. We know where he is from. No, you don't know where he's from. The second mistake they read is, they say, is here. But when Christ comes, no man knows from where, whence he is. Wait a minute. Really? Wait a minute. Answer me. Where does the prophet say Christ is coming from? You know the answer, don't you? Micah 5:2. O Bethlehem. Though you are the smallest of all the villages in the hills of Judea, there is one that comes from you who is from everlasting to everlasting. That's a prophecy about the Messiah. And when Herod said, where does the king come from? What did the wise men say? They said he comes from Bethlehem. Remember? These people are wrong. In both counts. What does it mean? It means that man is a sinner. He is blind. Man is arrogant. Man is wrong. Now, just go to one other part. And I can see how happy all of you folks are, so I want to continue for a moment. I want to do this someday. I want to really do this thing. This is amazing. In Leviticus 18, about nakedness, spiritual, about sexual sins and seeing your family members naked. Okay, 18, Leviticus 18, 7. I don't think any of you have ever gone to church and heard a preacher preach on that subject. Have you seen your mother naked? Your father naked, your cousin naked, your sister naked. Have you seen your uncle naked? What do we generally as Americans feel when we hear that those words? What do you generally feel? Like you feel kind of disgusted. Like the way, don't talk, it's vulgar. It's shameful. That's what it says there. It is shameful. But it also says in the same text, verse 22 says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And what about having sex with an animal? Verse 23, nor shall you mate with any beast to defile yourself with it. What do you feel about those two verses? It's disgusting. It's filthy. It's shameful. What about that? What about that? Come on. What about that? It stirs me up. I am disgusted. That is shameful. I grew up in a family where I would never think. Maybe you didn't have that in your family. Maybe you grew up in a different way, but you got to say that the law is written in your heart. Romans 2, 14 and 15. And when we violate the law or we violate what is written in our heart, then we get guilty and we feel the shame. Why do I bring this up? Because the gospel is for sinners. And when somebody is a sinner and super incredibly and amazingly God sent his son, that we would be born of the Spirit. His blood would atone for our sin. And Paul said, I am separated unto this. This is all I do. This is all I think about. This is my mission. I met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and ever since, I can never see anything the same way. I saw Christ glorified. I knew the gospel. I heard it. I was forgiven it. I understood it. I'm separated unto the gospel. I have been born again. The Spirit has told me. I walk in the Spirit, and I realize that I'm carrying with me the greatest message that could ever be said. And it's for sinners. And have you looked around in the world today and seen any sin? Have you seen perversion? Have you seen sin? Have you seen rebellion? Have you seen hypocrisy? The world is filled with it. Brothers and sisters, it's not social reform that is needed. I don't know much about that, but I know that Jesus Christ is able to save sinners. I know that Jesus Christ is the answer for a nation. I know that Jesus Christ is the answer for a fallen world. I know I heard about a farm boy, and this is sad, this is vulgar, protect your ears or your kids or whatever, but he did an abominable thing on the farm with an animal. And his shame was unbelievable, and his guilt for what he did. You know what he did? He did an abomination and a great sin that he committed. But that sin that he committed isn't any greater than any sin anyone has ever committed anywhere. For Adam has sinned, and all the sins of the world are really embodied in that sin. I live my way. I do my thing. I live in my perversion. I do my things. I live my way. I am in rebellion against God. I'm an enemy of God. And Paul said, I am separated unto a very unique thing, the salvation of a soul, the new birth of a person, the sins of the man being taken away, and God declaring him righteous. You know, sadly, well, anyway, let's finish. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are separated, and the missionaries we saw on the screen, and the people in this assembly, and the times that we are living in is a time of preaching the gospel. Sharing the gospel, talking about Jesus with wisdom and love. There are lies. This man, we know where he is from. No, you don't. You think he's from Nazareth. He's from Bethlehem. The Messiah, read, we will not know where he comes from. Yes, we will. He will come from Bethlehem. You are liars, blind, leading the blind. We are in a world like that. But God, you are the answer for us. Anoint us, Lord, this week with fresh oil. Restore our souls. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in us. Lead us in faith. sharpen our swords, enlighten our minds, help us in our hearts to learn grace and know what that means. Bless our fellowship in your name. Amen.